audacious. That's Aerosmith there covering the song originally performed by Channel 9 voiceover man Pete Smith, I think you'll find, back in the early 90s. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Good morning, everybody. I'd be Tony Martin, but Richard, hold back on the applause.
Okay.
Because Ed's had a big night in the theatre. He saw a 15-hour play, he told me.
It was just amazing.
So he said, look, no applause this morning. I don't want to raise people's expectations too high. So I'll just say it's me, Tony Martin. Yeah. We've got Richard Martin on the buttons. And who's that over there? Couldn't you not say it's going to get you in trouble?
Sure enough. I saw a play last night. I went with a mate. My Josh, he was on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
We went, so we were going to go see Knocked Up, the new Judd Apatow movie, but he said, no, come on, let's go to some live theatre. And I said, well, yes. Okay, yes, I will go to some live theatre. I will be seen, you know, around the boards. I will have a glass of Chardonnay. I don't mind. So we show the play was 3 hours, Tone.
Wow.
Now, I don't care if you're projecting the cats from YouTube jumping into the seats. Nothing needs to go for 3 hours, Tone.
I mean, run for your wife, wraps it up in 65 minutes. And it's a three-course meal served during the production.
Exactly. And I had nuts in one pocket and an apple in the other. And I was trying to work out which would be quieter. And I thought, look, chomping an apple, probably not going to fly with the poor guy sitting next to me. Because I wriggle and I scratch my head and I sit on the armrest and
you've got a toasted sandwich maker. You have to get an aisle seat for that.
Exactly. I wheel into the deep fryer. I was making dim sims. But anyway, that poor man, the poor man that was sitting next. Look, the play was great. You know, things got said. There was great. The story was great.
Yeah.
You know, in my head, during one part, I found my mind drifting to a press conference with Drew Barrymore about the wedding singer. I was, wait a second, I can't be paying that much attention. And by the time I came back, man was doing some stuff to another man.
Right, he had a chandelier fall and just almost hit the top of the audience's head. That's when you know it's a good play.
Is that right? What's that in?
I don't know.
Is that Phantom of the Opera?
Up your toga?
Up your toga?
These Angels in America.
Oh,
man, chandelier almost hits them.
Because I went for a mistake on, and it's a lot of like... Yeah, what happens in Up Your Toga, Rich?
There was a, I don't know, it was on for years on Burbridge Road in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Always starred Ann Wills.
And what happened?
I don't know. I never went and saw it, but I gather it was some sort of bawdy toga bus.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I don't know.
It's a key moment in the play. Someone shouts out, all hail the beef. That's what I find. You go along to the STC or the MCC, they hate it.
Yeah.
When you yell out, all hail the beef.
Why?
At a key point in the play.
Why would they do
that? Like for me, that's when the play's about to turn good.
Exactly.
That's when you're hearing, somebody's having a birthday. Somebody's having a birthday. That's what you want to see at the theatre.
No birthday announcement. But it was, look, it was classy. There was a man in a beret in the row I was sitting in.
All right. Look, that is a lot of fingers sinking, Hamilton. And we haven't even got to the topic du jour. The topic you've been sizzling up at the top of the show.
The
last six episodes.
Success, mate.
What's happened with the bikini car wash in Melbourne and, concurrently, the nude car wash in Brisbane?
And the X-rated car wash in Canberra.
Oh, that'll be next. I'll get this. Here, get this. on your Melbourne radio, your Sydney radio, your Brisbane radio, your Adelaide radio on Triple M, I think, everybody. We were talking, well, last week about, well, two stories. Firstly, the bikini car wash. I mean, I just can't believe how our listeners target the big story.
They do.
This is what they want to hear more about. Yeah. And, of course, the nude car wash in Brisbane. Mm. Let's start in Melbourne because they were covering this on the Channel 10 News in Melbourne.
Last news.
And I love it when they have that thing where the news readers are slightly outraged by it.
Ah, yes.
But they can't control what their cameramen shoot. Oh, and you know what the cameramen are like.
No.
They just want to see dogs. So at one point they're going after this break, the bikini car wash that's shocked Melbourneites. And there's just a white screen. I'm going, is that, have they forgotten to put the film in? And there's just a white screen and it pulls out and it's just a woman's ass.
Yeah.
Right in on the bikini. It's like a 0005 ad. And then we've met the bloke.
Oh, yeah.
Who's running Kitten's car wash.
Okay.
Causing all the outrage. Hey. I think I might be related to him. His name is Tony Martino. And, oh, this guy's got some great gear.
You in a mustache?
Well, you'd be the judge.
We're ladies in bikinis washing cars, and we don't believe we're doing anything wrong.
Glenara Council claims the car wash has too many workers washing at one time. Locals claiming it's verging on a pornographic public display.
There's been a barrage, a constant stream of emails, of phone calls.
From people wanting to know where it is. And I've got to give Martino points. Tony Martino. He's taking on the council. He's done his research. Check out his argument.
This is the same council that had books last weekend. A group of people having a kick-to-kick on a social football ground.
He's right. Glen Ora Council.
He's right.
The footy president.
He's right. Were they bikini clad? I don't think so. But how's it all going to end up?
Kitten's management say they'll obey any orders imposed on them by authorities. But if one of those conditions is putting up a wall, then they'll consider going topless or even nude.
You go. And then maybe just get rid of the car wash component completely. So you have to, you drive in and it's, you know, walled off.
Oh.
The music's playing.
Oh, yeah.
Your car's getting a lap dance. You really care if it's polished. I mean, it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's some great footage.
Hey, speaking of, you know, erecting the wall around the car wash.
Yeah.
In Canberra, a new car wash offering an X-rated slideshow and topless cleaning.
Oh, right. So you're sitting in your car.
Yeah.
Why do you need a slideshow if you've got the, you know, the topless women?
The what, Tony?
The topless car wash shareholders.
Thank you very much.
They're shareholders. Shareholders.
Well,
I don't think our topless women not enough for, I don't know, maybe Weeping Woman up there. Something like that. One of those Escher prints, because people might get a bit bored.
And Vermeer. No. Well, listen, Tony. Have you ever run a new car wash?
No.
Exactly. So just leave it to the expert.
Leave it to Tony Martino.
Yeah, leave it to Tony Martino. So anyway, they're saying that they can't stop. The police are saying they can't stop this thing. But they're saying the police said we don't want any traffic accidents caused by people looking at the girls instead of looking at the road.
Right.
So they're going to erect a wall, like you're saying,
around
the screen.
Yeah.
And one of the policemen said that he's been personally patrolling the site most days, and in the days that he can't get there, he's set up a special CCTV TV link directly to his office, which is nice.
His office, which you can find on the internet at redhotnorms.com.
But then, in Brisbane,
there he is.
We had Ian call up, one of our regular callers, and he said he works just around the corner. He reckons it's going to go.
Now, see, I'd be picturing, like, a giant car wash.
Yep.
Brushes. Equipment.
Yeah.
You have to drive through, like, the Tunnel of Love kind of
Absolutely
thing.
Absolutely right.
And machines you put your card into. At the very least,
it's like one of the ones at a service station.
Yeah.
Where it's a separate part of the service station.
How would you describe that picture in the Courier Mail?
I would describe it as a man who has painted the front of his garage white, put a massive picture of some Norks on them, and written car wash above it.
I'm ready for business.
Look at wow. Have a look at that guy, Tony.
This is the new frontier for entrepreneurialism.
Whatever you say it.
Is there water restrictions?
Well, what is this?
That's a business.
That's a successful business model you're looking at there.
We roll recycled water.
And it went asked about it. He said, yeah, no, I got the new car wash down in the garage. Got me 30,000-seat stadium set up in the front room. And I got me bedroom, which doubles as a women's-only gym. There's not much equipment in there, but there's plenty of high shelves to reach up and grab things from.
Probably no water used at all. Just be miming. And probably people without cards as he got on a bicycle. And him sitting there going,
trying to make washing noises.
Look at that. Well, they're springing up all over. Please let us know if, because we want to get the nude car wash map going.
It's a good idea.
On the website.
Mm.
And, you know, if you find
Lonely Planet Guide.
A nude car wash operating in any state, call us up and
seeing from his balcony. You can just come over, have a watch if you want.
And our producer will fit you up with a can of genuine Heinz Indian Snatcher. Now, we haven't been talking theatre enough. You went to the theatre last night.
Can we sizzle it? Because it needs one more little bit of prep.
Does it?
Yeah.
This prep or boarding, this is going to be gold. We're going highfalutin again as we visit the theatre next on Get This. Around the nation, that's the swingers here, Triple M. And, you know, people have been calling in about bikini car washes.
Have they?
It's a topic that seems to fascinate our listenership. Apparently, Marto on the page in Brisbane went along, or either a friend of his went along. I can't remember which it was.
Come on, Marto.
Anyway, full details on that show.
Really?
If you're up there. But
see, JB, our friend who's coming on in the from the Melbourne cage in the AFL footy show, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Coming in the next hour.
Mm.
I think he's done some filming out of kittens.
Has he just?
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's tripped the light fantastic.
For television or just for his
own? Oh, no. It's just for his own
body of work. Personal library. At our place, we, of course, watch EastEnders. My wife watches it. I have to tape it. Can you cue up that clip there from today? Because another thing that fascinates our listeners is the concept of the turducken.
Ah, yes.
This is where you get an animal, stuff it inside another animal, and then you stuff that animal inside another animal, and so on and so on. Like, delicious. The record is 19.
Okay.
Do you reckon we can go more than that?
Well, I saw a picture of a kid that had gone out and shot a 475-kilo pig.
Yes, in America.
Yeah, and he said he's very sad, this kid, because he said that his quote was, "I'll probably never shoot anything that big again." Poor little thing.
Oh, it's all down.
It's got nowhere to go.
And how big was it? It was like about the size of
2.4 metres.
Wow. It's like a double-decker bus.
It was a double-decker.
Imagine what you could get in there. So that could be the basis of a world record-breaking turducken.
You could walk things in there.
It could be like
a showroom.
It's like no stuff.
You could get two of almost anything in there and then just close up the back end.
So seal the exit. And then we want to get it down to a single P, which our listeners then say you can inject with honey. Like, is that
that's food stuff? No, it's definitely a food stuff. It's the only food stuff that never goes off, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps what we could do is ask one of our delightful listeners if they want to have a video of injecting peas with honey on YouTube. Why not?
And you can infuse the honey with a special something.
What that is?
Some sort of flavor.
Could we literally smoke it?
There we go. So that's even inside the honey.
Yeah.
Something else.
There you go. Wow. Okay. Well, just to show you, it's not just us. This was on EastEnders last night.
I've got salmon, trout. I've even got a bird within a bird within a bird.
A what?
Well, that's a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey. Lovely it is, apparently.
God, kill!
A bird inside a bird could be a vile anybody. Apples and pears. Okay, so we'll keep you up to date on the Cavalier Turducken, as we'll now call it.
Let's do it.
But what about your highfalutin proper theatre? You were at the theatre last night, Ed.
Oh, I loved it. It's great to see all of that stuff.
Mm.
I'd say go to theatre if you're listening.
Sure.
You know? That's what I say.
Why are we bringing this up again?
Because it's a scam. It's a bit of a scam, though.
Well, we had plans to go and see a film together.
Yeah, Rich and I had plans to go see a movie.
Really?
Some of us gave our word.
What happened?
Knocked Up. It was quite similar, actually, to some of the theatre that you saw last night.
Really?
Yeah, the new film.
Who did you go with?
I just went by myself. That was a sad thing. Because a mate of mine, as well as you, stood me up.
Yeah.
So I had to do that sad thing of asking around to see who would want to go to the film.
Asking around.
Because I had a spare ticket.
How'd you go?
Well, I just spent 45 minutes in intensity by myself playing Time Crisis 4. The question being, how old is it? It's too old for a man by himself to be playing video games in intensity,
right? Phone topic.
Yeah. Phone topic.
Did you just hang around the air hockey, just holding one of the things, wondering if anyone wants to play you in?
Well, it's a weird look when there's a lone man on those horsey games.
So sad.
Serious.
Playing whack-a-mole by himself.
I'd just like to point out, he does have an incredibly hot girlfriend.
Yeah, somehow.
How?
This is awesome.
Somehow. I don't know.
Okie dokie.
Theatre.
It's a scam. Because it was like 75 big ones, Tone.
Right.
How much is season 3 of The Wire?
$24.95 at JB Hi-Fi, but I'm told it's sold out.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. I've only got 3 of those. That's hours and hours of entertainment. Not to say that the play wasn't fantastic.
Yeah.
However, Tone,
yes,
it's nowhere near as big a scam as a play which I've just heard about that has opened in England.
Really?
And we And we now cross.
We're crossing live to England.
We're now crossing live to London's West End and the opening night of a brand new play.
The play is called Man with a Box of Killer Bees,
as you know from the poster. I am the man, and here is my box of killer bees. The doors are locked. Thank you very much. And for those of you thinking it's a tricky theatrical device, I can assure you these bees are killer, and they have the taste for flesh. I'm going to be coming around the first few rows collecting $50 or a watch of approximate value. Otherwise, the bees are going to have their way with you, the paying public. All right, thank you very much, sir. Ish. Thank you, madam. You may leave. Thank you very much. And is that everyone, is it? Well, I'm sorry to say for the rest of you, it's killer bees. So, release the bees. Well, you had your chance. Yeah, we're back, Tone.
How is that bloke? Did you hear that bloke in England?
He's crazy.
He's killing me.
What a maniac.
He sounded vaguely like someone kind of attempting a Bob Franklin impression and then just chickening out at the last minute.
And just a little bit of Bob Franklin. There's a lot of Australians in the audience, Rich. Wasn't there?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you reckon anyone's still listening?
I don't know.
I reckon we should just say anything now, no matter how outrageous, and it would never be reported. Because no one would know it had been said. What about the listeners, though? You know, we go on and on. We go on and on and on about celebrities.
Yeah.
In the women's mag.
Yeah.
What about the ordinary person?
What about them?
Standing up the back on Temptation, waving at the camera. Let's meet them next.
Now consider going topless or even nude.
It's on Triple M around the nation, and hello to anyone having trouble maintaining a... This morning, I wish they'd use those sound effects in the ads instead of the words. We get a lot of complaints.
I know.
That is a serious problem. Another serious problem is getting the Prime Minister to leap out of a turducken to promote our Get This podcast.
My position is I'm looking at my guys.
Yeah.
But can I just say that I've sort of dealt with this issue some years ago?
Oh, okay. Sure, man. I don't know if he wants to be boiled inside a pig and then placed inside a wild boar, et cetera, et cetera. People are getting into the turducken.
He's going to need something. He's behind in the polls.
Yeah. Hasn't it all come good, though, with Rudd's missus?
No, I don't think that's sticking.
Yeah, not sticking.
He's not sticking.
Yeah, once we get the bees.
He needs to dress up as Rudd's missus and go on a bit of a rampage.
Mrs. Doubtfire stuff.
Oh, Miss Doubtfire. John Howard is.
What about our new podcast?
It's up to date. Is this,
I've lost count. I think it's 88.
Oh.
It's Fleetcast 2, that's what it is.
Fleetcast 2.
The first time that one of our regulars has got a second.
Not since Speed 2 has there been a more anticipated sequel.
No, that's true.
Mm.
It's more exciting than Speed 2.
Really?
It moves faster than Speed 2.
The boat!
What's in it?
What were they thinking?
I know.
It looks stationary most of the time.
People sort of like... moving out of the way of water that's being splashed from a bucket on them.
No sense of perspective.
No dice, Rich.
What's on the podcast is Greg Fleet talking about jumper pants.
Good on you, Greg.
The craze that is, I should also mention that the most controversial segment we've ever done is on there. Which animal would you steal from the zoo? Really had us ripped off air, aren't we?
Yeah.
My animal lovers.
Yeah.
But let's get on with the show. And I thought today, we tend to piss around with the music.
Yeah.
Let's just make it sound like a proper radio show here at Triple M.
What's up? This is Brad from Lincoln Park. I'm chilling here on Triple M with my best friend in the whole world. Also my best friend.
Linkin Park here at Give This on Triple M. And Ed, I think it's time for a serious message about the dangers of drugs from our Prime Minister.
We no longer romance in the stupid idea that you can take them without it having any harmful effects. We now realise the enormous contribution that abuse has made to the level of mental illness in this country.
This is the first time you've heard this. I can't really explain that.
Yeah, where do we start?
People just love hearing the Prime Minister mispronounce marinara.
Oh, man.
Okay.
What are we going to do if he loses? What are we going to do?
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare for comedians.
It's terrible.
It's been so good. I just realised someone pointed out to me the other day that I've been doing that John Howard voice I do for 21 years. How sad is that? 86 or 87.
That is stronger than you've been with your wife.
Oh, you might. Let's not bring that up. No, that's true. Gee, that's a sad truth, isn't it? Longer than I've been with him. The
longest relationship you've ever had.
I've been with John Howard longer than I've been with anybody else. It's instilled a coughing fit into Mr. Cavalier. Sandwich down the wrong way.
Yes, spinach, some rogue spinach.
Maybe it's time to go a climbing.
We're close to a Jive Bunny-style album with all our Talkback Mountain themes.
It's a great view.
Surely.
Isn't it from up Talkback Mountain?
Beautiful. Mm.
Look, I can see Steve Weisshardt down
here. Yeah, yeah.
It's sold for $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that includes the cost of all the paintings that are not supposed to be on the wall. Just in the ad in the paper, Woodsuit disgraced businessman. Okay, that's not what we're here to talk about. Television. What's going on TV? How's Big Brother? I haven't been watching Big Brother.
Mate, I think it's on the way out.
Really?
I don't think it's looking good.
What about Travis? Surely Travis has turned things around.
Is he still in there?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's still in there.
I'm not the authority.
No.
Why not?
I think that Big Brother is wobbling. It's not as exciting as
you. Wobbling?
Wobbling.
Yeah. Wobbling, says Marsland.
That's the official term for it.
In case you don't know who Travis is.
Who's this little fella? That's a little white this. So, yeah. So, are you single or you're married?
It's been a bloody big day. I'm just happy to lay back in the old banana here and just chill.
And everyone's getting on to that.
Well, maybe it was Travis and ending every word in O.
Who was that?
I don't know. That's somebody. Nick somebody says to
you. We've got a big round of applause here for Nicky Hamilton. Are we allowed to mention this?
Because we've got him this morning and Richard Marsland said, you know, oh, I had a big night.
Yeah.
I went and saw Knocked Up.
Yeah.
And then our producer goes, yeah, well, I am Knocked Up.
Well done. Well done. Team Hamilton.
Good on you.
Oh, we're all involved.
I think there's a team of writers.
No, just the guy on the ultrasound.
There's a team of writers.
An EP and a boom guy.
Nicky is now our own turducken. Has a baby inside.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think everyone's getting in on the act.
Yeah, everyone wants to be a turducken these days.
That's commitment, Nicky. Congratulations.
Great idea. It's a great idea for a contest. People put stuff in themselves. Send in photos.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
No, bad idea, Chris.
Listen back to yourself, Ben Devil.
Bad idea, Philly.
Listen to what you say.
Bad idea. We're still talking Big Brother.
What a great... No, but I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
What a great twofer it's going to be for Nicky Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
First, a song on the way. Mm-hmm. Secondly, Will Arnett on the way.
Oh.
To the studio in this Friday week. We're hoping Job from Arrested Development
is going
to be coming in. All the Job fans are behind. Oh. Jude has emailed to say Arrested Development has a great commentary, especially the ones with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, this isn't some highfalutin show we're talking about. Coles.
Yeah.
They sell it now at Coles. It's caught on.
Yeah, the network
tried to kill it. No. The people got behind it.
Bang.
It's at the supermarket.
Bang.
And hopefully Joe himself will be with us next Friday. Big Brother, are we talking about TV cameos today?
What's the idea?
Was this because of the bloke who was on every channel last night?
Yeah, there's some guy that was on a few channels, wasn't he?
He was on the Rich List.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you switched over... He was on 1 versus 100 and switched over. He's doing the weather on the ABC.
Oh, right. Apparently, yeah. And doing some gardening on the community television station as well.
It's all over the shop. Mm. Like Richard Marsland.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm the king of all media.
I did switch over once. from Rome, where I think you were probably getting about in a kilt,
had your genitals pixelated,
that's it. Flipped over, there you were on community TV at the prom.
All bases covered.
What a mogul. What a mogul. What a mogul you are.
But, you know, is this leading to what have you been in?
Yeah.
Because we do talk about the big name.
Yeah.
What about people standing up the back?
Exactly. What about the small things? You know, were you up the back drinking a milkshake in the diner of Home and Away?
Me?
No.
All right.
I looked at you, but I was addressing
the listener. I can do it.
You know, because there was a guy in the play yesterday. No, there was a guy in the audience of the play, and a few mobile phones went off during the first half.
How does that happen?
I think people just forget. They just go, oh, yeah, right. And then no one answered it, but it's like quite an emotional bit. And a guy stood up during the interval and went, okay, everyone, can you just, like, turn your mobile phones off? And then he got, like, a round of applause.
And the look on his face. He was so happy with himself.
Did he jump up for the old course as well?
Yeah, he is. Come on.
I've always wanted to say that. No, and he's congratulated by men in berets.
He's well reviewed this morning.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah, it was 2 out of 4, they said.
Triumphant.
Yeah.
All right, so we're saying, what have you been in? Up the back. I mean, I think I've talked about all mine on the show.
Yeah. I was in a Japanese Domino's commercial. First job I ever had.
Yeah,
me, right. me and Rashad from Headland, who now features in a Jessica Simpson video clip. So he's done all right. And I played Chandler from Friends. So
that's true.
Cop that.
But Japanese audiences none the wiser. They'd be going, oh, that's Matthew Perry. Just want to be
Matthew Perry.
So I'm inflating. He's down again. Now he's in Cavalier.
Could be anything.
Anything can happen to that guy. All right. I mean, I made my first TV appearance with Richard Wilkins. As he was known, Richard Weil.
Yeah, did he Weil.
On New Zealand TV, 1979, came third in the school filmmaking competition. That's pathetic. Surely you can go better than that.
Yeah. In South Australia, they had a show called Hey Hey on Saturday, which was actually
what
a morning cartoon show. Because Hey Hey on Saturday, for some state, for some reason, wasn't on in South Australia for quite a few years,
mm-hmm.
especially during my childhood. So it was a morning, Saturday morning cartoon show.
With not Daryl, or?
No, it was with Robin Ronfeld and Joey Moore and Winky Dink. And also, so what I did, they had a
Winky Dink
special competition with little puppet duck that has a very cute laugh. Voiced by Wendy Patching.
I think you might want to play that anti-drugs message again. You've been on the Mariana.
And they had an art competition, and you could draw your favourite movie star. Mm-hmm. How obscure is this? I sort of listened.
This is pre-McConaughey.
Yeah. Who'd you go with? I was inspired by Maud Drucker in Mad Magazine and the Rocky parody. I sent in a picture of Burt Young, who plays Holly in the Rocky film.
How old were you?
I was about 8 years of age.
Yeah, that's the Burt Young demographic.
And I won. And I rolled up to reception and they didn't have the prize ready. They had to run out and buy me a board game.
You beat the four-year-old who sent in a picture of Eve Montar. Playing at Richard Barton.
I don't understand.
I was on a kid's show once. I had to come in. My mum was doing something with the Commonwealth. No, the Olympics bid for Brisbane. As if. Right? Anyway, so I had to go on as like a cute kid in a T-shirt riding a big bird. Not big bird, but another bird. As if we'd just flown in from Athens or something to try and get the bid. And mum's like, just go on and be nice. Go on and be nice. I went on. And then I saw the bright lights and stuff like that. And I started to cry. And the bird, I think the bird looked at me, so I kicked him in the ass.
And the bird was dead from that moment
on. We didn't get to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't get the Olympics, so they got
that nude car wash.
Yeah.
So many, I just should point out, while we're talking here, Cecilia is constantly taking calls from people with
nutcases.
No, consumer information.
All right.
Jamie called from the Gold Coast near Movie World. There's a drive-through bottle shop where bikini-clad ladies wash your windscreen while you wait.
Yeah.
The booze. But legal. He says, you know, this visit, because is it $80 the new car wash?
Not sure.
He goes, it's cheaper to get your car detailed and then go to the strippers.
That is just
$75.
Okay. He's an economic realist. He's all about more norks per dollar.
Thank you, everybody, contributing to our ongoing consumer comparison of new car washes around Australia. That's not what we're talking about. We want to know, what have you been in?
Yeah.
TV appearances. The pissier, the better. 133353.
That'll be Chris Isaac. Baby,
really a bad, bad thing.
One of the great rock videos, I think you'll find.
Here, get this on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. We're back to Dickie D, if you could. Mr. Marvel, and 133353 is the number to call with your TV cameo. Who's made one?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Mate, we're excellent. What were you in?
Mate, a movie called Race the Sun.
Oh. What was the story, my man?
Oh, you got me there, mate. I can't remember. I was just an extra in the grandstand, and there was a pan across there, and I had my Ren and Stimpy hat on, and they zoomed in on Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, did they?
Was it in the film? Did you see?
Yeah. See, I'd never seen it for years, and I kept all the memorabilia, and then, you know, did a flat, you know.
It's going for a car wash.
It's one of Ben's fans. He's eating while he's not here.
Being attacked.
Okay, now he's just being
out of space.
He's being choked by one of the people at the car wash.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, that just
beat you.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say that's a movie,
yeah,
but it's a Jim Belushi movie.
Yeah, so that's
weird enough. Pretty busy.
That's for TV. Hi, Dean.
Hi, how are you going?
Right, man, what were you in?
I was an altar boy on Mass for You at Home.
Oh. So what did you have to do?
I think we had to bring the bread and the wine to the priest.
Mm-hmm. And then, did you get to turn the letters so they could? Is it Corinthian? No, just give me a bow.
No, I think it was the Book of Job at the time. So.
And how long were you doing that for, Dean?
It was just a one-off.
One-off.
Yeah, just the one off.
You got boned after that, did you? They let you go.
Yeah, the priest boned me after.
No, come on.
Lavinia Nixon got the gig.
She's good, though. She is good.
Okay. That's pretty good, but can we go pissier?
Thanks, Dean. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great, mate. What were you on?
I've been on a couple of things. We're on our on Good Morning Australia for our school's 125th anniversary. I once had to drop an ice cream onto Harold's head in Neighbours.
Off a footbridge.
Off a small footbridge.
And what was the why?
Lassiter's Yard, if you remember it before it was burnt down 50 times.
Yeah, Lassiter's Yard, and it had the kind of little bridge thing going over the pond, that kind of deal.
Not the pond footbridge.
Mm-hmm.
The small footbridge that led off the side that went down towards the school and the hospital, the fake hospital, obviously. Above him, he had to, you know, cop the ice cream.
And what was his reaction when it hit him?
I believe back then it was the manager was involved, and I remember our role was to drop the ice cream, giggle, and sort of run stage right.
Yeah.
And I think he wrote a letter to the council and wanted a new car wash.
Okay. When the ice cream's going to hit him in the head, and you run off giving him enough time to harump and bluster.
Yeah, I think you can go
bigger, Harold. All right, that's pretty good. Who's going next? Oh, the Daleks, apparently.
Mark, are you there?
Yeah.
And what were you on?
I was on an episode of Perfect Match. She was one of the tickies, and she matched one match with each of us, and fortunately I didn't get the prize, but...
Fortunately?
Yeah, more fortunately. But I did get up. I was the perfect match, computed by Dexter.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And I scored a fantastic set of Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Right. And have you still got the footage?
Yeah, I do. I show it to my kids all the time.
You have some respect.
Now,
all right, perfect match by Dexter. And Dexter was always right, wasn't he?
You know what, that's a moral victory, Mark. That's the moral victory.
Circa 1989 with Cameron Dutto and Kerry Friend.
Kerry Friend. So it's post-Debbie Newsom, free Unky from Sweden. And it was from Stephanie Lamb. She was a wildcard entry, I can't tell you. All right, it's pretty pissy. Let's have one more, Mr. Cavalier.
Susie, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Excellent, and what were you in?
I was in an ad on TV for the New South Wales police community ad, where there was a guy that had AD'd in the gutter, and I asked him what he'd taken.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a mono ad.
Wait a second, who were you in the police ad?
back in about...
You know, what was your character, though? Were you the person ODing in the gutter?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. And what, how did you prepare for the role, Susie?
I was just giving off jokes.
All right.
And my nephew was actually Heath Ledger's double in Ned Kelly.
Oh, who? Heath Ledger's double?
Yeah.
Did he have to do that fight thing with Russell Gilbert?
Sorry?
Well, Russell Gilbert told us he nearly blew Heath Ledger's head off during a fight with him. Yeah, that's a bit of double.
Yeah. Well, my sister trained was training all the horses, so he ended up being an extra, and then ended up riding as his double. So
there you go. Well, that's almost too good for this program.
Pretty good. Okay, we'll bone him up.
Thanks to everyone who contributed. Let's get all of these people together for a group photograph, or maybe just a can of Heinz Indian Snatcher for everybody.
Does everyone get a can today?
Why not? Yes, Snatcher for everybody. And joining us in the remainder of this hour. It's James Brayshaw.
Just a little too clever by half.
She going nude.
She's going nude tomorrow morning up St Kilda Road, and my mail and my mail is she went in this morning, well actually yesterday afternoon, to get herself properly ready.
Oh, okay.
That involved a fake tan.
Right.
And it also involved some downstairs work.
Wow.
I actually spoke to the, it wasn't your Brazilian butterfly, but it was that style of
short side.
And apparently what resembled was your Italian barbershop wall. A covering that had to be seen to be believed.
I'm sure that'll be on eBay tomorrow. Yeah, because there was some talk that because she only had to be nude, so there was, you know, she might be in a dark room or the Institute for the Blind.
Yes,
idea is great. But no, the busy street in Melbourne.
Busy street in Melbourne. Apparently the police have rung and given it to an hello, hello, hello. What do you not think you're doing?
Now, does this mean that people at Cages and Breakfast Show interstate will have to be following suit? Does this mean Marty Sheargold streaking in
Sydney? Hello. I wouldn't have thought so.
Nardo up in Brisbane, do you think?
No.
John Blackman in Adelaide. Make a dickie and he could do it. Something like that. All right, well, that's the, you know, the
case done and dusted.
The case of material out of the way. We're going to class it up with, according to Ed, inappropriate teammate behaviour.
Yep.
Got some of that?
Yes.
We'll get nothing too serious. Yeah, sorry, I've ruined it. Okay, we're going to have to start all over again. I ruined the ending. Sorry, Davies. We need Lee Simon. He's got to come in and start coaching us again, Ed. He knows the end of every song, as does possibly this man. He works at Triple M at Stone.
The same colour? Yeah, the lime greener.
Really?
I'm going to get a bit of chest hair and a little back hair. Oh, don't worry, I got fitted for it this morning.
Did you lose a bet?
That's exactly what I did. I said Richmond would win. I categorically said they'd win.
For that.
And they didn't. And then, but Katrina, the beautiful wardrobe lady, came to me with the measuring tape and she said, can you hold it on that bit where the four seams meet under your butt? I said, what, Katrina, that doesn't appeal to you today? Sorry, I got measured this morning, so that's my start.
And what, so what, do you just have to parade around in it or sit there for the whole show?
Oh, no, I think it'll probably, they'll probably get a segment out of it.
Yeah, really?
I'd imagine, yeah. I'm going to end up getting the arse off that show, some would say sooner rather than later, with not a shred of dignity attached to it.
Oh, that.
They're not a lot at the minute.
Yeah, it's traditional, right? Somebody having sex with a dwarf?
Yeah.
No, there you go.
That's a level I hope to obtain.
Oh, dignity.
Only
not,
dream.
Not required. Are you going to, you know, keep the gear on after the show and maybe pop down to that gay pub? The Explosive. gay pub in Melbourne. Mm. Have we got a clip, I think, the manager of the gay pub explaining himself?
Mr. McFeely proved the influx of insights and curious men upset his venue's all-important balance.
If you can imagine perhaps a city wine bar with a school of barristers or lawyers and a couple of dozen drag queens which you walk through that venue. Now, don't tell me that must be that thing wouldn't change.
I don't think it'd change at all. It'd be business as usual as long as I had some cocaine. Yep. It'd be fine. It'd be great with that.
Well, you were really. What a name for a Republican.
We had Tony Martino running the rude car wash.
He's a new Scottish doctor on Grey's Anatomy. McFeely.
Dr. McFeely.
Let's see. What about the rules, though? They've got the rules published out the front, whether you're allowed in or not. Mm. And the one I love is, you're not welcome in here unless you're prepared to be hit on by a man. Mm. What sort of rule is that? You don't go to your local pub where men and women are happily mixing and go, well, you're not allowed in here unless, as a woman, unless a bloke's allowed to have a crack at you between now and when you leave. There's an outrage.
How is it, Richard? You've been down there?
I have actually been to that pub.
The Bill.
Because I went with a gay friend of mine, and we went with a couple of women, but women aren't allowed in there either.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so the bouncer literally says, not in that anatomy.
Oh, look at you go.
It's very odd. I've never seen that before. But it's also, is it a ban on heterosexuals?
Yes, sir.
So does that mean that you have to prove yourself?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a...
I think
there's like an obstacle course.
I'm accused of being gay at most pubs. Lack of sporting knowledge, so I'd probably just get in anyway. McFeely would be furious. That's the thing. See, James, I'm one of these people who's grown up not being good at sport and constantly been accused of being gay as a result of that. And you're always, from my side of the fence, I'm looking across and all I'm seeing is men showering together, whipping each other with towels. It seems like the gayest whole business in the world, you sport.
You know, where the only place that you and I differ, Tony, is I grew up being really good at sport and still I'm accused of being gay on a daily basis.
Really?
I've got my fourth child on the way. I don't know how I can stamp it out. And I'm just running with it.
So you get to five, man.
Yeah.
You get to five, that cloud's going to hang over you, Brayshaw.
You're fine for the peel.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a story coming up about bad teammate behaviour that'll put me in the gay category forever.
Yeah. Look at this, a guest who's self-sizzling. Thank you very much, Grace Kelly, here at Get This on Triple M. James Brayshaw from our Melbourne office is sitting in today with Talk Sports. We'll get back to sports in a moment. Movies. I know you're a movie buff, James. What have you seen lately?
Well, I saw, because my son bought it, the old Transporter, the first one.
The Transporter,
the original, and it's a cracking movie. I'd forgotten it. One of those ones that I watched when it first came out, and then I actually haven't seen it for 5 or 6 years or however long. And, you know, when Jay's, my oldest son, Jonathan, turning 13 July, so he's starting to get into those ripping movies.
Yeah, right.
So he got it from Video Easy. I don't know where they stumble across $29.95.
Hang on a second. Maybe it was in the bin. It could have been out the front.
But anyway, he's brought a
responsible teenager, though. They've got $30, and they've decided not to make glove guns and go shoot at with their $30. They're going to get a DVD.
Exactly. It was for him to watch, and I then caught it on, next time he decided to run it around. But a ripping,
This is true. It's not a joke. I had a Scottish friend, film editor, recommend that film to me. He's seen The Transporter, and I'm thinking he's talking about Trainspotting.
Yeah, yeah.
It took about 3 minutes to actually sort that out. Transporter.
Yeah.
Transporting, no!
I don't know what his name is in the movie. I should remember. Richie probably. Anyway, his character name. But whatever it is, he is a well-hard unit. Like, you can have your Jason Bourne. And you can have your bloke off 24. This bloke.
Who's the wussiest? I find Orlando Bloom.
How's he going to be a pirate? He would have been stabbed in the face with a bottle the first day he got on that boat.
Leonardo brings very little to the table.
Really?
As far as hard man goes.
Tough guys.
Corey Feldman, very little.
I hear the Coreys are getting back together. Did somebody tell you that?
Living together and for a reality television show.
So do you think I'll get out of the movies enough time? The last movie I've seen, one that's about 9 years old.
Yeah, 9 years ago. But you're seeing them all with the kids. And how many? Four kids?
Yeah, four coming at three of them.
Right, and Nicky Hamilton, of course, another one.
So congratulations, Nick.
Unfortunately, nobody actually on here to get this is had Nicky. You promised you were going to have some kids for the show.
Oh, we'll have some coming along. We'll do it as a promotion. But I know,
good promotion.
And you guys might not know this, but James Brayshaw is a massive Dangerfield fan.
Yes. Are you a Dangerfield
fan? Yes. A huge Caddyshack man.
Kids on the Caddyshack, or would they not find that impressive?
No, they love Caddyshack. They've been disciples of Caddyshack. I also like Thornton Mellon version of Dangerfield as well, when he did that stupid triple Lindy. Remember the dive when he went to school?
That was fantastic. The triple dive, yeah.
When he went and had an interview with Dean Martin.
That's right. Right. And it was Easy Money.
Ladybug.
Ladybug. Ladybug. Coaching the soccer.
Yeah,
downhill.
Yeah, I didn't think that was great.
It was all right. Well, yeah. See, our listeners have got behind the idea of editing Rodney Dangerfield into old films to make that. Have you got an example of that here?
We've known each other many years, but this is the first time we've ever been to the council. I got me to say, I'm coming on and give me dust.
Well, that's the story of my life. No respect. No respect.
People got behind that idea.
I wondered when respect was going to come in.
Yeah. He's just waiting. Dangerfield's just waiting for it. So how old are these kids of yours?
Like, 13, as I said, nearly 13, 10, and George is only 18 months. But I want to ask you this question, because given that you don't have kids, I reckon you'll be coming at this from the right angle. Talked about Borat before. Yeah. Should my older two, who have asked me daily for the last 6 months, be allowed to watch Borat, do you think?
Yes.
You think they're of an age?
Yeah.
What about the nude fight? What a 10-year-old seeing.
Yeah. It is. Well, there's a lot of black squares, but there's a bit of plum work at one point. Plum's out. See, I wouldn't have been allowed to see that in my day, but I'm assuming... Because we weren't even allowed to watch the Peter Hill show.
No. I remember my mum turned off Carry On Columbus one day, which I was trying to watch, because there was some innuendo about a boat getting motored, and I didn't really get it. She went, right, that's it, and that was the end of it.
Yeah. But so surely if you say no, they're just going to watch it on the YouTube anyway.
Well, I must admit, I had my suspicions when Henry, the 10-year-old, said to me the other day, you know what happens, Dad? You know what happens? And I said, yes, I do, because I've seen the movie. I'm very confident you don't know what happens, though, because you haven't seen it yet. He said, all right, I haven't seen it. But he goes and has a poo and then brings it out the bed. It was so bummed.
You need to see it. Didn't that happen in Gandy?
Opening scene of Gandy. That's great, guys.
Well, I can't answer that one. That's too much pressure on me. Yeah. I don't know. I just would imagine that they've probably already seen it, James.
Yeah, and talked through all the gags, so they might have just seen it.
All right, that's enough movie talk, I think. Okay. We've got to seriously talk about sports. Yeah. And in particular, teammates behaving badly.
Oh, yeah.
James has got some stories in that regard. That'll be next. We'll get this.
There's been a barrage, a constant stream of emails, of phone calls. People are very concerned. And if they're upset, well, I'm upset.
Navarro with his huge pulling power around the nation is Get This on Triple M from our Melbourne office. James Brayshaw is here, giving us a chance to, for once, talk properly about sports. What's your topic here, Gavely?
Teammates behaving badly.
Oh, why?
And this is because a friend of mine, a girl, a hot person, she met a footballing type, an AFL footballer. He's already laughing. And he went to visit her. But he arrived and they met out at a bar and they were going to, you know, so it was very nice. She thought it was a date. But he showed up with six of his friends.
Oh, there we are.
And, you know, so they started, you know, getting together a little bit. But she said it was quite weird because throughout the night, he made out with three of his football mates and then kind of ignored her. And then at the end of the night went, all right, well, let's go home. And she's like, well, you've been kissing blokes.
Oh, really?
They're my teammates, man. You know, that's nothing.
Oh, wow.
And she just quit. And she said, I like him, but I just don't know how many blokes he's going to kiss when we go out. Yeah. I don't know how many I can put up with.
What style of behaviour is that?
So
they went from the North Melbourne football.
No, not at all.
I get a feeling that's probably pretty tame, Ed Cavill.
Really?
Surely you've heard much worse stuff than that, James.
Well, I will, and I think the great Richard Marsden may have alluded you all to this particular... and it doesn't paint me in a great light, I've got to say, but I was selected to play in the West Australian under-19 team in 1985.
Good job.
Playing cricket.
Yep.
And I was the captain. So over we went. We were staying at the University of New South Wales campus.
Yes.
And the first night we get there, we all got a little excited, Tony, because the first game wasn't for another 3 days. And so we went down the rubbery and started tipping it right.
Good.
Anyway, we sort of got to about 12 and thought, well, we really shouldn't spend any more time here. So we went back.
Yeah.
And my room was sort of, everyone just piled in there. There ended up being about 8 or 9, maybe 10 of us in there. So we're looking around, 10 blokes in a room.
Okay.
And one brain surgeon, and I don't know who it was, came up with the idea.
I'm
just wondering how. No, he was a little bit older than me. I'm just wondering how I'm going to say this.
Yeah, okay. Away
with it. But anyway, he said, right, 20 bucks in. So we've all gone 20. There's $200 in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, this is 1985.
Oh, okay. An earlier time.
And I'm a 18-year-old man. I've never had $200 in the hand in my life.
Oh, wow.
And there it is sitting on the table. That money was up for grabs for whichever man could get his manhood performing.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about.
We then proceeded without batting an eyelid time to just pants off. And away we went, all 10 of us. You know, it never occurred to me how badly, how this must look for someone from outside. All I did was just look at this pile of money and think, I want that to be mine. And the fury when I couldn't perform, I just got no, $200.
At the time this was going on, I was in the amateur theatre. And nothing like that ever happened.
It's so butch.
It's so butch now, the amateur theatre. Pants generally stay on.
Mate,
who won?
Okay, this is the thing. No one.
No one won.
5 minutes later, we all had to iron up to each other. Take our own 20 out, put it in the pocket.
Surely,
I was trying to think of my girlfriend at the time, and I was trying to think of my mate's girlfriends. Any thought I could get in my head to try and get something.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't someone have popped out and had a bit of the ugly dark grey stiffy spray?
So fast acting on Richard Bartlett.
$200 is mine.
All right. I think we've given a pretty good example there. I don't think we're going to be able to top that. I mean, have you ever been in a sporting team of any kind?
Indoor cricket.
Right. Really?
Wild times. Great. I played for this team for all year. I played 12 games for this indoor cricket team. We made it all the way through to the finals. And I was about 14 years of age, and they were all a bit older than me. It was very sad. They called me up the night of the grand final and said, don't worry about it coming by. We've got someone else to take your place in the grand final.
We got a win.
That's bad behaviour.
They win or lose?
They won.
Even more. Everyone pants off.
Yeah.
And Eddie, I'm assuming you've never been in a sporting team?
No, not really.
You should have, man. It's a build like that. You've got sportsman written all over.
I got forced into basketball when I was in high school. So I just had to stand under the ring and sort of get elbowed. By smaller men than myself.
Well, he's trying to read Lennon Moulton's film, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
And then I played, I used to goalkeep for my university. I used to goalkeep for Sydney University when I was there. Mm-hmm. But I left one morning because it was Sunday. It was raining. We were in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, there's got to be an easier way to meet girls. So the next day I went and auditioned and successfully, James, won the role of God in my very first play called Tree of Life, which is a 4-hour epic, which we did outside. And that cast party, James, Ed, got some action.
Oh, so there we go.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fantastic. And I was briefly involved in the game of badminton because it was a wussier versus tennis. I could actually pick up the racket.
Were you any good?
I was actually quite good at badminton, but there were only 5 of us playing, I think.
Well, I guess a lot of Asians.
No.
Do they tend to dominate the game of badminton?
No, Indonesians are fantastic.
No, it was me and the 4 wussier guys with me from school.
And then we just realised it was, as I said before, more fun to not go, just stay home and phone the badminton centre, just so the woman could say, Badman Admin. But she always did, no matter how many times you called of an afternoon. This is way off the topic. Bad teammate behaviour. You must have been in a sports team at some point. Bad behaviour from your colleagues. We want to hear about it. And do we have cans of Heinz Indian Snatcher for everybody?
Yes, we do.
Look at this show go.
The home of the prize king. Call now with teammates behaving badly. 1-3-3-5-3. John Mellencamp, Jack and Diane, it's Hit This on Triple M. We're talking teammates behaving badly. Do we have any stories that have been cleared by the lawyers?
Wow. Okay, let's just get started.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
G'day, guys.
Now, what happened?
Look, Jim will appreciate this, and he's probably heard it before himself. Playing a state grade final at Albert Park Squash Centre. Cold night. End of the game, everyone goes in the communal showers, and I walk up very close, which is not to be done at a male communal shower, very close to a mate, having a conversation with him under the hot steam, kissing on his leg the entire time. Run out with a hand towel to cover my manly bits. And apparently, while I was outside the shower, he's actually peed in my perp.
There you go. Fighting fire with fire.
Yeah, got you back.
Well, there you go.
Apparently good for Tinia.
Yeah, really, really. Well, thank you, Steve, and your manly bits. Hey, we go worse than that.
Hey, Richard, how are you?
Pretty good, Ed. G'day, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, great, mate. What happened?
Well, I used to play for a local cricket club here in Melbourne, and we won the first 11 premiership one season, and we're about to be presented and introduced to the rest of the club, and found out one of the blokes is missing. So I thought, oh, we better, you know, see if we can find him. So he headed outside, and he had a 3-ton truck, which he used to deliver pies in. And we've headed out, and just in time to see the back doors of his pie truck open, and him and a young lady step down in a rather dishevelled state.
Oh, no.
So they've been in the back of the truck having a little bit of the old jiggy jig.
Like, come on, baby, come back to the back of me pie truck.
Yeah, but, I mean, how bad is a way to celebrate a premiership? I can either go in and have a drink with my mates, or I can go and tag some in the back of a pie truck. I think I'll go with the latter.
Well, we can't recommend that, but if you must, try the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power.
And more. Yeah, okay. Hi, Lance, how are you?
Yeah, good, fellas. Yourself?
We're excellent, man. What happened?
Well, I play both footy and cricket for a long time. But I suppose it's appropriate that James is there because he'll probably appreciate a cricket story.
Right.
Country Week at Ballarat. About five teams from the one comp all up there. Been 40-odd degrees during the day. Go back afterwards for the presentation for the best players and that. And the floor show was one of the teammates who said he could put 30... 20 cent pieces in his foreskin.
There we are. How did he go? Did he do it?
He did it.
And rapturous applause?
The rapturous applause and a few more beers to be had.
I love how that was the entertainment. We're going to have a band. We thought we'd have this instead.
There was actually a bloke called Wayne Holdsworth who fast bowler for New South Wales and went on an Ashes tour for Australia. He's a fine, fine cricketer.
Yeah.
Well, I think he could also work a number in.
I'd like to think that these people are working as cab drivers and using it as the change caddy.
That's right.
Got a few 20s down here. Wow. Okay, that's
thanks, Lance.
That's a lot of foreskin. Who's going next?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good, thanks, fellas.
Mate, talk us through it.
In the late 80s in Sydney playing rugby league, I attended a club function one evening, and a few of the drunk fellas, one of them was slightly aroused downstairs and started to use his male appendage as a barbecue tool.
Isn't there a story about a rugby player that puts it in a schooner glass? He puts it plastic.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
I've heard that somewhere. A nightmare about it.
He's on the sharp end of the pool,
okay.
Look at where these calls are going.
Hello there.
There's no turning back.
Okay. Now, hi, Glenn. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, gents. How are we?
Mate, we're excellent. Talk us through it.
That's good. I know a local football team, wasn't my own, or one I played for, but...
Where are we talking?
They actually went to a tutor on a houseboat footy trip.
Yes.
Up there for 3 or 4 nights, and what they decided to do was play a game called Hide the Poo.
Oh, yes.
So there we are.
All right. So,
oh, wouldn't you?
All the boys put the money in, and of course, over the weekend, they all had to go in there and, as you know, go to the toilet somewhere, hide in people's shoes and whatnot.
Oh, no.
They found every poo except for one.
Where was that?
On the last day, they said, "Righto, mate, you've got to come forward, come clean." He said, "Righto." He goes to the fridge, he pulls out the margarine.
Oh, no.
And what he had done, he had cut a big square hole in the margarine.
Oh, no.
And he packed the bottom of it, and been spreading toast for the last 4 years.
See what we've missed out on? Okay, I reckon we're going to go one more.
Okay, okay.
Let's have a look here.
Who would you like, Rich? Take your pick, mate.
Well, I mean, it all goes the same as weed, as poo.
Right, I also like
random. Just choose one at random.
Oh,
it's your name. Are you saying none of them are fit for air?
Anyway, Rich.
Okay.
Hi, is it John?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Hi, mate.
Good, mate, good.
Good. You can clean it up a bit. Let's talk us through it, John.
A little bit, maybe. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was in a leagues club with one of the NRL teams from Sydney, the grand final and all that. And one of the guys urinated and filled up a pot glass.
Oh,
and then the boys all did, one of the other boys, and he actually drank it out of the club. It was pretty ill about half an hour later.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Happy. Yeah, happy.
Well, I mean,
thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Everyone does get a can of Heinz Indian Snatcher.
So it's nice, appropriate for everyone.
Clean things up.
Thanks for wasting my lifetime.
Yeah.
Why would I sat inside watching DVDs, so I could have been drinking my friend's urine.
I just want to be a part of that conversation where you're on a footy trip and you're on a houseboat in a tuba and you're sitting around looking at each other going, all right, what do we do? Why don't we play some hide the poo?
Yeah, good idea. Good idea.
Yeah, traditional. All right, thanks, everyone. I feel quite ill.
Yeah.
But we're going to clean things up next.
Oh.
I know I promised us yesterday we're going to get to them today.
The beezer.
Lost and running from powder fingers. Get this on Triple M. James Brayshaw is with us from our Melbourne office, the Melbourne Cage. You know, have you guys been tackling the Mrs. Rudd affair? I mean, is it too boring?
Well, not boring so much as I can't quite work out the relationship between the two.
Yeah, right.
Mr. and Mrs. interests me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I'm not sure where they're at.
Oh, lavender, man.
You're calling it
lavender.
Oh, really?
Well,
what we're saying on this show, we're saying Rudd's shot, Birdie's finished.
Yeah, done.
The answer is bring back Kim Beazley. Randy, good to be up here at the Kim Beazley had a lot of good ideas, and he was sent packing too quickly.
Ahead of his time.
He was. He had some really innovative ideas, which maybe...
He's like Einstein.
Maybe if he brought them out now, people would go with them.
Yeah.
This is an interview we played last year with Kim Beazley, which a lot of people have been asking for again, and it's full of common sense.
Mr. Beazley, thanks for joining me.
Very good to be with you, Tony.
Now, I understand you've got an exciting new policy.
Yes.
Well, let's hear it.
When the Australian Labor Party is elected at the next election, what we're going to do is increase taxes.
Increase taxes?
That's the undertaking.
I'm sorry, maybe I'm not hearing you right.
What we've said today, just to make this absolutely clear, is that we're going to increase taxes.
But you've been talking about tax reform.
So, obviously, by definition, we're going to increase taxes.
Right, that's your idea of tax reform.
The number one tax reform would be increased taxes.
This is the first thing you're going to do.
It's not a bad start.
It's an unusual economic philosophy.
Well, it's nice to have an economic philosophy discussion, Tony, but what we're going to do is increase taxes.
Right, this is your big plan.
Frankly, it's the easiest thing to do. It's the cheapest thing to do.
Increase taxes.
Yes.
But in the past, you've always talked about lowering them.
I think that that's where we've massively dropped the ball over the last decade. Better to increase taxes.
But there are so many taxes as it is.
And they're going up.
What were you smoking when you thought of this idea?
A joint.
Right. Well, that raises a few questions.
The question is, what is the quality of life?
Sure. Mr. Beazley, if I could ask a personal question.
Yes.
I understand you like to get around your offices in the nutty.
That's absolutely what I'm into.
Right, you walk around nude in front of your staff.
Yeah, well, I must say, I have from time to time.
That must be confronting for them.
And it's particularly tough on women.
I'll bet.
They've been treated shamefully.
What's the psychology behind that?
Well, I'm not an analyst, Tony.
Yeah, fair enough. But you have been telling the story about how you sat on a stapler and it disappeared.
I've been talking about that pretty consistently for the last year and a half.
It must be uncomfortable.
The blockage is there.
Well, why don't you remove it?
It's not the priority.
I must say, I've tried to fit a stapler up my arse and it's not easy.
You want to put it the other way around.
Okay. Do you think this will affect your performance as leader?
We won't get that performance until we increase increase taxes.
Right, but getting back to the stapler, are you saying a man with a stapler up his arse can be Prime Minister?
What I'm effectively saying is that I am experienced enough to handle all the unexpected things that come into you when you are Prime Minister.
Well, there you have it, Australia. A Prime Minister with a stapler up his arse.
All I'm saying, Tony, is this. I have the experience to do it, and therefore I will be in the position to do it.
I'm sure you will.
It's particularly tough on women.
In this country.